few Goldilocks Bears podcasts with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemeth,
and David Lauer.
And this is the show where we talk about our loves and our hates and our indifferences. But before we do any of that, we like to talk about old topics and, dig them up and squeeze out a little bit more juice in a segment we like to call Deja Fuse. Does anyone have any of those?
One that comes to mind for me, did Matt have a hate of anime or an indifference to it? Yeah. The new Miyazaki movie came out, The Boy and the Heron, and I thought it was pretty great. Just saying.
I still got to watch the classic Akira, right? That's the classic one. Like everyone and their grandma should have watched.
I think you can skip that one, honestly.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say watch anything by Miyazaki. Spirited Away is his like most famous one.
Okay. I've heard of that.
But yeah, like I like them all, honestly.
Dave, do you like anime?
I've never watched any anime. I don't dislike. I have no idea. It's like sushi. It's like I've never tried it, never eaten it. It's like maybe I'd love it, maybe I'd hate it. I don't know.
Because the animation's raw. I mean, that's so funny. I was gonna my deja vu was gonna relate to Matt as well because he hated mullets, but then.
Oh, yeah.
Later on or early on in the summer, he's like, my sons have mullets.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask him, like, did he, like, how long did he put up with it? Or did he just, like, shave them off, you know? It's like, no more mullet hairdos. He just beats them. R.I.P. Matt Hagen.
I mean, There are good mullets and bad mullets. Like there's nothing better than a great mullet. Like if you see one in the wild and you're like, whoa, look at that mullet. That's incredible. But it's like a beard. Like there are good beards and bad beards. You know?
Bad beard over here. This is a bad beard.
And that's okay. Like the majority of them are bad.
It's
and
okay that you have a bad beard.
Like mullets, majority of them are bad.
It's actually good that you have a bad beard. Oh man. Oh, speaking of mullets, one last thing, and did I mention this? Rat tail? Does that count as a mullet? Is that within the family of mullets?
I mean, it fits the business up front, party in the back adage, but it's definitely its own thing. Like I wouldn't like see someone with a rat tail and be like, look at that mullet.
But right.
Definitely cool.
I had a rat tail when I was like in kindergarten, like 6 years old. It was pretty awesome. I miss it. I gotta ask my mom and be like, hey, do you get any pictures of that rat tail? You know, it was like the summer of 92 and Billy Ray Cyrus was a thing and rat tails were a thing.
He had a mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Miley had a rat tail. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like mullets and rat tails they're like cousins, you know. They're not the same, but there's I don't know.
Kissing cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dirty, shameful. All right, let's go. Any other deja vus? We can get the party started. Well, all right. So I'm gonna go I'm gonna start. And I was thinking like here's a good way to start. Something that I actually don't want to talk about, but I must. And that is the hate for bats. Now, this was a learned thing. You know, like some people are like, it wasn't until I had a bad run-in with a black guy. Now I hate black people. or any other fucking race. You get what I'm saying. You know, they're just judging everyone from this one experience. So
yeah,
I grew up me and bats were fine. I saw them around the neighborhood, you know. Sometimes my grandpa would be like, those fucking bats. No. Anyways, I grew up in the woods, and this was my first bat experience, but it was very unique where I'm like,
Wait, did
that
you
was
say
surreal.
bad experience or bat experience?
Bat experience. And it was bad too. All right. So grew up in the woods, and I'm hanging outside the house. We have a log cabin, and I noticed that there's a bat in the corner, like right on the house, hanging around the house. So I take these rocks and I'm like throwing it at him. And
Okay, so far I'm on the bat side. I gotta say.
That's fine. That's fine.
What time of day was this?
It was like 2 p.m., something like that.
So they're sleeping. It's like the middle of the night for them, and you're throwing rocks at them. Okay.
Right. Okay. So my mom opens up the window. She's like, "Hey, what are you doing? Don't do that." You know, I'm like, "Oh, I was like, you know, I thought I was protecting the house or something. I don't know, right?" And she's like, "Leave it alone," and you know, something like that. So I'm like, "Okay, fine." And one more rocks. Damn it, missed it. So, anyways, I went to sleep and I shared a bedroom with my brother. I had top bunk. I sleep. I wake up. I'm on the top bunk. I open my eyes, and that bat is clinging to the ceiling. I don't know, 2 feet from my face. And it was horrifying. I like quiet, like I'm pretty sure I was, you know, quietly screaming. And I just like gently get off the bunk, and we somehow get it out of there. But it was scary. It was really scary, right? Mom was like, "Well, you know, you messed with him, he messed with you, son." You know, I'm like, "Ugh,
Yeah.
mom, your voice is so deep and you're so wise." So I'm like, okay, fine. So that's the first experience, right? Perhaps my fault, you know, there's a little bit of karma in there. Now, the second experience is we were watching, oh, was the second or third? No, we were cleaning up. It was spring cleaning, right? So it's in again in the middle of the day. So I'm walking back and forth, and I see this piece of ripped off plastic, black plastic on the ground. And I'm like, I'm gonna pick that up, but not yet, you know, because there's bigger things and shit like that, right? So I keep on walking back and forth, cleaning the house, and it's like a good hour. And finally, I'm like, all right, time to pick up that piece of black plastic that's on the floor. And it's a fucking sleeping bat. And it was, again, just horrifying. I was like, oh my God. Like, and we were able to trap it, throw it outside. But again, it's like I was drawn to that thing. But I thought it was a piece of plastic. What a weird experience with a bat.
Say, let sleeping bats lie.
It was on the ground. Like it was just like I never heard of that. It was just like lying down on the floor.
Like all the good ceiling space was taken.
So again, it's like I'm trying to respect a bat, but that's not in the rules. I didn't know they just lie there on the floor and like undisturbed. Like I walked past that thing like for an hour, right? Okay, so then there's that. Then the third experience is we were watching Fright Night. And if you know that movie at all, there's the vampire who's in the basement, and then he transforms into a big bat and he flies out from the basement into the living room. At that exact moment in the movie, a bat flew out of our basement and into the living room. It was fucking scary and horrifying. I remember all us kids throwing a blanket over us while my mom was like screaming, trying to like get it and shit like that. It was spooky and scary. There's just I could go on and on where these weird experiences with bats. I want to say I hate them because they're just weird to me outside of these experiences, you know, like who hangs upside down and shit like that, you know, like who can't see and shit like that. And then to make matters worse, the Wuhan thing, you know, like COVID is if COVID is all over the place, it is from eating a bat. Honestly, my anxiety levels were so high up for the longest time because I'm like, of course it would be from a fucking bat, but I want to respect it because if I If I don't, that's when they show up. It is the most bizarre thing ever.
So, in your personal stories, I'm not hearing the bats doing much more than existing. I'll admit, paired with the vampire movie, that's creepy as hell. So I'll give you that one. But
Thank you. I'm on the board.
yeah, the disease thing, like, isn't it true that bats all have just like all kinds of like bacteria and viruses living in them, and that just due to the way their immune system works, they don't get sick, but they can be a like a carrier, basically, something like that.
Jesus. Well, no, see, exactly. I think it's a very unique, bizarre animal. And maybe again, it's my weird interactions. But I don't know. I want to say I respect the bet, but that's not an option here. And I don't love them. And maybe this should have been indifferent, but yeah, I don't know.
Do you like whales?
Oh, because they communicate with sound? Is
Yeah,
that what
like
we get
they're, I
now?
mean,
Oh.
bats are basically whales of the sky.
That's true.
They're
When you
both
get that.
mammals that are living in the element of a different type of animal. They swoop around catching their food in their mouth.
Oh my
They
gosh.
yeah, the sonar thing you already mentioned.
So
I mean,
when
they're
that.
practically the same thing.
Yeah, when that bat was lying there, he was beached, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about it? Like, yeah.
Well, like, okay.
Yeah, go
When
ahead,
did
Dave.
you, all right. When did you first watch like Michael Keaton Batman movies? Like,
I
did
might have.
like this, did that have an effect on you where you're like, you saw yourself in Batman and Batman was afraid of bats?
When I watched, I think that was before my experiences, so I was fine with those Batmans. It wasn't until Batman Begins where there's a shitload of bats in that fucking movie, and I hated it. And but people were like, "Oh, it's called Batman, you fucking idiot!" And I'm like, "Yeah, but like, there's barely any bats in those other movies." And fuck, oh my God, Batman Forever is horrifying, especially the digital cut or whatever, where like there's this giant man-sized bat hanging out with Val Kilmer and shit like that. He's like, "I loved you in Tombstone."
I don't remember that part, but have you seen that like footage from like the Philippines of this like this giant bat that's hanging upside down, and it has like a wingspan of like 5 or 6 feet, and it's like 3 feet tall, and they call it some kind of like flying red fox.
Yeah, the flying
Oh yeah,
fox.
that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the creepiest looking thing I've ever seen.
You guys know what a, there's an actual vampire bat out there. You guys know about that?
No.
All right, well, be prepared to be horrified. So this thing, it doesn't, I mean, it flies, but it prefers to walk on its knuckles like a goddamn gorilla. And it fucking bites, like, gently bites like an animal or whatever, and then just drinks its blood while it's flowing out of it. But it's got like one of those things where it's like, what is it called? When you can't feel the pinch, like a mosquito, you don't feel it at first or
Oh,
at
like
all.
the, was it not anesthetic, is it?
Something like, yeah, I was gonna say that maybe,
Yeah,
but.
yep.
So yeah, I mean, just seeing a bat walk on its knuckles like that is it'll stay with you forever, you know? There's just, oh my gosh. Again, I don't want to hate them, but they just do not appeal to me aesthetically, and they don't make any sense. I get whale the whales of the sky. I should have freed that Free Willy style.
Yeah. So I'll admit I don't want one in my house, but apart from that, I'm pretty much a fan. Like
What? Really?
I love seeing them like swooping around outside. Like I think that's really cool. Because they're eating all those bugs and stuff. In fact, when I was in Austin one time, there's a famous bridge there over a river, and it like just accidentally they built like the underneath trusses or whatever of the bridge the correct distance apart that they're just like perfect little bat hiding places. So at dusk, there's just thousands of bats like flying up from that bridge and going out and hunting for the night. And then like at dawn, then they're all like returning back and going back underneath the bridge. And I made a point to check that out. I'll send you a video. I have a video that's like
No,
dozens of bats flying around
don't.
me.
I'm not even joking. I don't like
Okay,
that.
all
Okay, here's
right.
another. Okay, I have another example. I actually have a lot, but I remember I was getting ready to go work the overnight shift at this hotel. I was working the front desk, and I was and my roommates, they had on their computer, there was like three, no, there was four screens, and each one had a bat on it. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck is that? Don't do that. And then they were just laughing. They're like, oh, you don't like bats. I'm like, yeah, whenever I interact with them, it's weird and shit. And you could summon them, in my opinion, if you think about them too much. You know what I mean? So I went to work, and what the fuck happened? Four bats were in the goddamn hotel. I'm not fucking joking. It was horrifying because, commoners were cut off. They're like, what's going on out there? I'm like, go back in the room. I was horrified. Oh my gosh, there's so many examples, guys. And now I honestly feel very weird putting this out online. You know what I mean?
Because in the next 2 weeks something's gonna happen.
Like
Don't say that.
every bat we've mentioned is going to show up somewhere.
God damn it.
I
Well, Dave,
mean,
how do you feel?
when I was a kid, like I grew up in an old farmhouse in Wisconsin. Like we had, it was two stories, plus there was like a little attic space. Like we would get, and we had like a wood stove fireplace. So you would also have bats that would come down through like the chimney sometimes. But yeah, like in the, I think it was like once it started to get cold out, so like October, November, bats would like try to sneak into the house to like hibernate or some shit. I don't know. But yeah, they would randomly, you'd be sitting watching TV, watching, like Home Improvement or something. And then all of a sudden there'd be a bat flying around the house. And then, but like it happened often enough where it was just kind of, you just rolled your eyes and then. And then we grab like a broom and a dustpan, and you'd swat, swing at it as it's like flying around the house. You just swing and try and hit it with a broom to knock the bat to the ground. And then you got to try and jump on it with like a pillow or something to hold it down, and then like scoop it up and toss it outside. But that was the extent of like bats. It was just like, yeah,
Yeah,
and like
just normal
I'll
stuff.
randomly, yeah, I'll see bats outside when you're like at a campfire or something, and you're like, oh, there's a bat flying in the sky, and I'm like, oh cool, I just saw a bat. I don't know, it's like seeing like a bald eagle or something. I'm like, oh cool, that doesn't happen every day.
Do you salute? You're like,
Yeah,
all right, I got another story.
I've actually considered building a bat house
No,
like
oh my
up on a
God.
pole in my backyard.
I've heard of those, right? Isn't it just a box you put on a pole? And oh, that's a
Yeah.
bat house. God, they're like cats. Oh, is that a box? I'm gonna go inside. Okay, Dave, DJ Matty Nice, right? McMahon, or who they call Murphy because Murphy's Law, every bad thing happens to him, right? So I was living with him during a summer, and he just bought this house. And I remember camping out or, cooking out, hanging outside. We'd have some drinks and stuff. And there would always be two giant fucking bats flying around or flying, you could see them go to the marsh or the wetlands or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's creepy. And he's like, yeah, that's fucked up. And I'm like, we see those two bats like every night heading over to that swamp. Come to find out, they were from his house. They were in the walls. They were in the attic. They were in the basement. And so I would be sleeping, and you could hear them scratching and crawling around the walls around my bedroom. And I kept on saying, like, Matt, I think you might have mice or something. There's something in the walls. Like, no, man, whatever. So, anyways, we found out that those fucking, not only were those two giant bats in that house, but there was 12 other bats, baby bats, or not even, I don't know, teenagers, snarky little teenagers in that fucking house. It was so horrifying and it was so gross. And I was like, of course, Matt, you have the worst luck of all time. Of course, you would have bought a house with like 14 bats in it. Ah, hate them.
Yeah, that I know the house you're talking about, and it's right across the street from a giant swamp that has like a million, frogs and crickets and bugs. I mean, like we'd have cookouts there, and then once it got to like dusk, there would just be mosquitoes everywhere. So there's just bugs everywhere. It's a perfect spot for a bat to live.
Gross. All right, guys. My skin's gonna be crawling this whole fucking time. But someone wanna change the subject? Anyone got a topic?
Sure, I can go ahead with my indifference, and I'll be surprised if I get strong reactions, but we'll see. So I'm indifferent to poetry, and it's not that I think it's dumb or anything. It's just like I'm incapable of reading it, I guess. It personally, like it's just I can't get the rhythms down. It doesn't sound good to me, like it, I don't know. I just can't get into it. I've heard other people read poetry and it sounds great. And I'm like, oh wow, okay, actually the way you're reading this makes this sound super meaningful. But like if I were to just get like a book of it, I would like kind of stare at it a little bit and be like, okay, whatever. And I really like, music and song lyrics, and obviously that's just poetry put to music, but that just feels completely different to me because of how it's delivered, I guess.
Haiku.
Yeah, I mean, they're haiku are fun to come up with. Some limericks can be hilarious, but yeah, I don't know.
So you've never so you've been moved by poetry, but not by your, like you can't do it to yourself. Like you need someone else to read it out loud to you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh shit. Wow. All right. Well, I was like, I wrote, poetry, which is just rhyming and stuff, and that's fun. But it's that non-rhyming poetry where I'm like, what is this? Like I kind of find it hard to get into that myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I like it doesn't poetry doesn't really do a whole lot for me, but when I'm like reading or listening to the lyrics of a song and I'm like, oh, that sounds poetic. Like I really love it because it sounds poetic. But if it was a poem, I wouldn't like it. I don't It's like poems are just, it's song lyrics without the music. I don't know. I don't have that imagination or something to make it interesting to myself.
That could be an interesting project where someone's like, okay, I'm going to take this book of poems that aren't songs, but I'm going to put music to them. So like when people open it, it's like those greeting cards where they play some music. So yeah, that could work. That'd be good. Like, oh my gosh. I was going to say T.S. Eliot, but he made Cats, right? Yeah.
Did he?
I
Wasn't he
think that's
the wasteland guy? I mean, I guess he could teenage wasteland?
the
Bob O'Reilly? Yeah. I
Well,
don't know.
yeah, I want to read some good. I mean, I think I would enjoy reading some good poetry and stuff, but yeah, I don't know if I've ever been like moved by poetry. Like, you see guys like, oh, quote poetry to woo a woman. Couldn't do that. I wouldn't know what's good. They're like, you like that poetry? I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, should we move on? Do we
That's
have anything
fine.
else? Okay.
Nope. I was just hoping someone would be like, I'm a poet. I love poetry.
Oh.
How dare you? Let me explain why it's great. That's what I was hoping for.
Okay. All right, Dave. I'll take
So
that to the door.
you got no argument from me. I'm on your side. It's just like I, you know, if it's in a, if it's kind of put some music to it and it's a song, then it's good. But without music, like, whatever.
All right, Dave, you go. You got the next stanza.
Oh God. I think I have a hate, which is I hate the TV show Impractical Jokers. So one of the reasons I wanted to pick this is because I know it's like the TV show Impractical Jokers is super popular. They have like 10 seasons. Like all of the guys on the show are like super famous because of the show. Tons of people love it. And I'm not saying that I hate it because I think it's bad, but I can't watch it because when I watch that show, I get like when I see someone having like a prank pulled on them in public, like they're pranking like strangers, I get like social anxiety where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. I can't stand it. And I just feel this like social awkwardness where I hate it. Like watching, it makes my skin crawl to watch the show because they're all like, you know, behind in the next room over, watching on cameras, laughing at stuff that's happening in the next room over. And they're talking on their headset, like, hey, tell them this. And they're all having so much fun. And I'm just like squirming and crawling in my skin because it's so awkward to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, how could they do that? No, why would you do that? I hate it. So I can't watch the show at all. I hate it.
So I've never really watched it. Like, what's an example prank that they might do? Do you have one?
Well, it's self-inflicted. It's like, oh, go pose as a psychic, and then you have to just, get a correct psychic readout. So they're like, so all he does is like, did someone lose a family member recently or something like that? Like he has to try and do what all psychics probably do, bullshit, or like he has. They have to be a hibachi chef. Is that
So who are they?
Sal?
So like one of the hosts of the show
Yeah, there's
is
four
going out and
hosts.
doing this stuff.
Yes.
So
Yep.
then how like what's how are the general public involved? Like
So they'll just go out into like a public place and they'll have like hidden cameras set up. So like they'll be in like a library and they'll set up hidden cameras, and then there's three guys who are talking to one of the guys who's there in the library, and the other three guys are like in somewhere in the next building over watching on their hidden cameras, and they're talking into his headset and they're like, okay, you're in a library. We want you to, start making some noise, and just start grunting or start saying this word. And then, they're just trying to get a reaction, and they slowly build it up, have them do more and more loud, obnoxious things to get reactions out of people. And they'd be
Gotcha.
like,
Okay.
okay, reach into your backpack and pull out a blender and start mixing some protein powder in your blender, because it's a library and you're supposed to be quiet.
Yeah, and they
And
okay,
they.
well, yeah. Well,
Okay,
they
so
have
like
to do it though.
if I'm like a random person who just happens to be in that library, like they're not necessarily making me the butt of the joke, but they'll get my reaction if I'm like complaining that this guy is running a blender in a library, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's the four. Okay, so it starts off where they all have to do the same thing in a way. Like they all take turns in the library, and, but they have to do what the other three tells them to do. Otherwise, they get like a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Whoever strikes out the most at the end of the episode, they get the punishment sequence at the end of the episode where they have to just do this thing by themselves. And those are usually way more fucking embarrassing to do and stuff like that. So Dave, do you so man, like I watched it, but they're always on a marathon. You know what I mean? Like they're always showing back-to-back episodes, and that's what I can't stand because one episode will just have you like, oh my God, I'm emotionally and psychologically exhausted seeing them put themselves through all the shit. But True TV, man, it's like on all the fucking time, like a whole block playing, you know?
Yeah, so that's actually interesting that you said that because when I watched it, it was over at a couple friends' houses and like it was on t like it was just on TV and we're all like drinking and eating and it must have been on TV for 3 hours straight and it was just that show and everybody is like laughing and loving it and I hated it. It was just like I guess it was fine for the first half hour maybe. But 3 hours of it, I'm just like, oh my God, I couldn't stand it anymore.
So is it
But
just
maybe it
like you
was the marathon
having
effect.
like empathy and like embarrassment for the guys doing the stuff then? Is that the problem? Or
I don't like, I wouldn't want to be them doing that and having someone to tell me to do the awkward things. I wouldn't want to be them. But I feel for just like the person in the library who's trying to do some homework and somebody is fucking around and just making noise, like kind of just ruining their day. Like, they might only have 1 hour in that day where they can kind of work on their assignment and they're dealing with this. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to be them. I wouldn't want to be the other people who are just the innocent bystanders.
How do you feel about like scripted kind of cringe humor? Like some of the stuff
Office.
from like The Office or like Ben Stiller movies back in the day. Kind of stuff.
I love The Office. I thought The Office was great. I like Ben Stiller. I like that kind of stuff. That's great.
Just
Okay,
not real
so
cringe.
yeah. There's one that this reminded me of, and I never cared enough to bring it up as a topic, but something that's been in my mind is like those like what would you do scenarios that they have on TV, like I just hate that. Like they just manufacture this thing that if you just like pass by and don't do anything about it, you're the asshole or whatever. But it's just like, maybe you don't know what's going on and people should usually mind their own business. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's true. That's trying to get someone to pass judgment, or where it's you're sitting at a restaurant or something, and then they have like some guy like say something rude to the lady that he's with, and then he goes off to the bathroom, and you're supposed to like stand up for her and ask her if she needs help, and it's like, am I really supposed to pass judgment off of like a 30 seconds I saw? Like, I don't know the whole context of everything.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's the first time he stood, he talked back to her, you know? Oh, that's great. Should we move on to myself. All right. Let's see here. Okay, so I'm indifferent to vehicles, bros, guys. You grow up and like in high school, they're like, you only talk about sports or cars, man. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about either. Let's talk about movies. That's how I felt. I had no I'm not wowed by cars growing up. The vehicles that we did have were okay. I don't know. I don't get into it. There's also like, oh, girls like cars or whatever, but I felt like I did okay with just having a whatever vehicle, There's some guys who need that car and shit because girls do go for it, But I've never had to do that. But I also have, so I'm not wowed by vehicles, so I feel like I don't respect vehicles, I feel like the Amish, how they treat horses, you just run them into the ground. And so therein goes like, oh, you gotta take it to the shop, you gotta pay for this. It's like, what the fuck, man? Like, this is annoying. I hate that. So some of my vehicles have ran into some problems, but it just seems like that's it. So like if I ever had bad luck with anything, it would be with vehicles. The one time that I could have got wowed by a vehicle was my very first car. My stepdad bought me a car. Me and my stepdad, we weren't very close, but he was like, "Hey, son, I have your fucking, I have this vehicle." I'm like, "Wow, dad, your voice is deep like mom's." But he, yeah, out of the surprise, he bought me a vehicle. We were like, "Should we? Do we hug?" No. All right. So, anyways, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is great." I get into the car. I'm driving around. I stop at my cousin's, who's one of the neighbors, and I'm like, "Hey, jump in." And we're driving, and then he's like, "Hey, could I drive?" I'm like, "Sure." And he gets in. We go half a mile, and it just breaks down. Jesse, my cousin, is bad luck. He's always been that way. He's always been naughty. Things break down around him. I should have known better. So I had to go all the way back home to the dad that we're not that close with. And he's like, "Hey, son, how'd you like the car?" I'm like, "I did like it when it was working." It was such a horrible experience to just the look on his face when I'm like, "It's broke," So with all that vehicle stuff, I don't know. It's just not for me. It's just something that exists that gets me to from point A to point B. Yeah. What about you guys?
Same.
Dave?
When I was younger, I felt that way. Like, I really didn't care for vehicles. And I always remembered, like, on the school bus in like sixth or seventh grade, like, kids would just sit and talk about cars. They would talk about Corvettes and Mustangs and Camaros and Grand Ams. And, like, none of it made any sense to me. It was just like, what are you talking? Like, why? Who cares? Like, I didn't care at all. And it was just like other sixth and seventh graders talking about cars. They don't even have their license yet, but they're obsessed with cars. I didn't get it. And I still don't get into like sports cars or anything really. But I do think that now that I'm older, I do have a nostalgia for cars from like the early 90s and the 80s. I have a nostalgia for like 80s, 70s and 80s pickup trucks and certain cars that I like. Oh man, I remember those. Those are nice. And part of it's because they're like old-fashioned cars. They're not electronic like the newer cars. Everything's all computerized and digital in today's cars. But the older ones are a lot more raw. They're just, old-fashioned cars, and I think that's cool. And so I do like them. Like, if I could get like a 1988 like Ford F-150 that was like in really nice condition, I think that would be awesome. I would love it. But I'm not like a car person. Like, I would never fix up cars. You're right, they're a total money pit. They're expensive. You got to fix them, throw all this money into it. They can be super frustrating. So yeah, there's a lot of
I'm
negatives.
definitely ready for the future where nobody owns cars, and when you need a ride, a self-driving vehicle just comes and picks you up and takes you wherever you need to go and forget about
Gosh. Or we travel in tubes like
it.
Futurama style.
When I was a kid, I was really into Micro Machines, which are cars, ostensibly. I remember a friend telling me like, "Oh, Hot Wheels are way better," or I don't remember, or Matchbox maybe, because they're like the actual car. I'm like, I don't really care what the actual car is like. I just like these little push them around.
I remember I asked my mom for my 16th birthday. I asked my mom for a Jeep Wrangler, and she got me a Matchbox car that was a Jeep Wrangler. And she just laughed her ass off as I sat there, just like, screw you. Like, what the hell?
Classic mom.
That's fine.
It is funny now that like all the tech people who didn't give a shit about cars their whole lives are into like Teslas and stuff now.
My
And like
gosh.
that's how they spend their, their tech money.
Wow. I do have a type of vehicle that I look like. I don't pay attention to what it looks like usually, what vehicles look like. I don't care. But I am drawn to a particular type, and that's the Pontiac Grand Am. For some reason, and my mom could attest to this, like they break down. I think I've owned two of them, and each time they were total lemons, you know? But I would never learn my lesson. And since I don't pay attention to what cars look like, I am still attracted to the Pontiac. So when we were trying to buy me a vehicle, because my other one broke down, mom would drive me and she'd stop and I'd get out and I would instinctively just be drawn to every Pontiac. You know, I would just go walk up there. She's like, "No, that's a Pontiac. You hate those." And I'm like, "Oh my God." But it was nuts. Like every fucking time I'm just drawn to the Pontiac. It's bizarre.
It's like when women are attracted to bad boys and they're like, oh, maybe I can fix this one.
And you will. He's not going to change, but you will have to fix it.
It's like run away. It's a piece of shit and it's never gonna change.
Holy shit. Now I'm thinking, is that how I am with women? I'm with do I have a type? All right. Well, should we move on?
Sure, I'll go on my related topic, which is I hate vehicles when they are parked in the bike lane that I'm trying to bike in specifically. And number one offenders in my experience are Amazon branded delivery vehicles. They're just a menace on the streets. They park wherever they want. They drive like jerks. Yeah. Then probably next is like Uber or Lyft drivers, either dropping someone off or waiting to someone pick someone up. They just sit there and then beyond that, the occasional like actual like UPS or FedEx or USPS truck. And it's pretty scary driving or riding a bike on, city streets and stuff. And that's when you have a bike lane. And then when you have to like look around you and, go out into traffic to avoid this thing. And yeah, it's just scary and I don't like it.
Bastards. Well, I don't have too much of that experience, but I do. I mean, I've been on the other end where, like, when you're at a red light, but you don't know that there's a bike little thing right in front of it. So you actually, go a little further than you're supposed to. Then you have a bike rider who's like, "What the fuck, man?" Like they're really angry. So that's you, John. Do you get mad or do you just kind of give him a stern look? What do
My favorite is to do the thumbs down
you
because it hurts way more than a middle finger, I believe.
It's disappointment, yeah.
And a solemn head shake. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care that much about what happens at stoplights because, like, I try very hard to follow the rules of the road, and where like you see other bikes just blowing through stoplights and all that stuff. Like, I try to be a good citizen and then also expect others to be good citizens. But yeah.
Okay, so I don't get car mad. What is it called?
Road rage.
Road
Road
rage.
rage.
Car mad.
Yeah.
I don't get road rage at all. It takes a lot for me to get miffed, but what about you, John? You're okay in the car, but when it comes to the bike, you're like, "God damn it, thumbs down."
I don't get like super angry in the car. I'll get annoyed when the light turns green and they're like staring at their phone. So, I'll give them a little meh, meh, kind of thing. Try not to be too aggressive. But yeah, as long like if people are just slowing me down, it doesn't bother me. But like if someone's like gonna hit me, then I'll like get a little more aggressive, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it was very specifically bikes or bike lanes being blocked. I was like, God, how much juice can we get out of this?
Well, so like I've never really ridden a bike around in bike lanes. Like the only time I've ever really ridden a bike was like I would ride a bike home from the bar, like when I was drunk. So like I chained one up to a chain link fence, a bike, and then I'm like next to Water Street. And then after a night of drinking, I went back to my bike in like the back alley behind like Taco John's or whatever. And there's some other drunk people who saw my bike and were trying to steal it, but they didn't realize that it was chained up. So they were trying to
Right.
steal my bike for no reason than they're drunk and they saw a bike and they wanted to ride it. But I'm not really, I don't know. That's one bike related story I have. Other than that, I will say that, like, what I don't really feel like it's a big deal. I feel like I would probably park in a bike lane and not think it's a big deal because my car is like 5 feet wide, but you on your bike, you're only 2 feet wide. So, like, you can easily maneuver around stuff where a car is a lot bigger and it's more difficult to maneuver.
But like it's clearly a marked no parking spot. Like you're not parking there because it's a, like you're not allowed to park there because it's a bike lane. And
Yeah,
there's a
Dave.
reason that that rule exists.
Rules are just meant to be broken. I don't know. It's like
Fuck.
it's like the handicap stall in the bathroom, you know, where it's like, yeah, it's there, but no one's ever using it, so why don't I just use it?
Okay,
So
well, I'm the handicapped
I
person coming and knocking on the door while you're in there.
don't know. Oh my God. How do you, okay, so this has gotten on my nerves when I would prefer to bike on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? Like there are people that bike on the road, and I mean, I guess it's a law now, right? You can't bike on the sidewalk, but I'd feel so much more safe on a sidewalk than on the road, on that
Yeah, I
lane.
also hate when I'm walking on the sidewalk and bikers come on it. I'm like, I'm sorry, is this a side ride? I just think there's places for everyone. There's places for cars, there's places for bikes, there's places for walkers. Like, let's
Feel
stay in
like
our
there's not
places.
even walkers anymore. There's just dog walkers. Like the sidewalk is just for people walking their dog. So like I'm walking and I'm like, oh, there's a dog walker coming towards me. And then I cross the street because I don't know if they have an angry dog that's going to try and bite me.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, let's get out of this lane and into another one. Great segues. Segues? Oh my gosh.
Where do they go?
It all ties
Well,
together. Where do they go? Oh my gosh. All right, Dave. That's a hint for you to go.
do
Very
you want
subtle.
my indifference or my love?
Your
Does it
choice,
matter?
man.
Whatever you're feeling, man.
I love noise canceling headphones. So I don't have full on noise canceling headphones. I have some AirPod Pros, the little ones that go in your ear. They're not perfect by any means. Like if you're moving around, they'll kind of fall out of your ear. You kind of hope you have the right sized ear where they fit in there and they don't move. But they have like a little bit of a noise canceling feature to them where it can drown out a lot of background noise when you're listening to some music or a podcast or a movie. So like it's really great because like I work overnights and like when you're trying to sleep during the day, there's dogs barking, there's kids playing outside, there's cars, there's lots of traffic. But like I could put in the noise canceling headphones and put on like a white noise app where it's just like rain sounds or like a waterfall. And it's the noise canceling is amazing. Like, because we'll have like a neighbor that has like a barking dog, but I put in these headphones and it's so amazing. And I love it so much because it gives me like so much peace. Because I can be like super stressed about something and having a shitty day. And then I put in my noise canceling headphones. I put, some music that I really like, and it just drowns out all the background noise. And it just kind of puts me into a trance with the music. Like, unlike, just playing it like on a speaker across the room listening to music, it's a totally different experience. It really immerses you in the music. And I just love it. It's awesome. And I think back to like 10 or 15 years ago when I lived in like apartment buildings where I had neighbors above me and below me and to the side of me, and like they're banging around and making all this noise. And I'm like, if I would have had noise canceling headphones, like it would have changed my life. Like, I feel like I would have been a lot happier.
I'm
So, are
sure.
you able to sleep with things in your ears?
Kind of. They eventually fall out at some point,
Okay.
but I'm a super still sleeper. I can fall asleep and I'll just stay in the same position for the most part. But they'll generally stay in my ears. But it's sometimes they do fall out.
Do you sleep on your back or like? If you move
No,
yours,
I'm a stomach sleeper. So I sleep on
and
my stomach and then my head is kind of on its side.
like that doesn't like jam it into the side of your head in an uncomfortable way.
Well, my ear can it can get a little discomfort
Okay.
from laying on it. So you have to like position your pillow properly and get just comfortable.
What about face down, ass up? What about not white noise, but like there's new stuff now, like green noise and brown
Yeah, there's
noise.
new colors of noises. Have you heard?
Yeah. I've seen that on the there's a white noise app, but they have all the other colors. They have purple and brown and I don't know, gray noise, and they're all just like different frequencies. But like some of the frequencies are like super enjoyable to listen to, and others are like super grating. Like an ASMR. If you like this, I could do a whole thing on ASMR of my hate for it because there's
Oh my
nothing I
gosh.
hate more. It is like a frequency that it just is nails on a chalkboard to me that I hate. But yeah.
I don't know if you're listening to the right ASMR. The whole point is supposed to is that it's pleasing. I'm
Well, it's
curious.
supposed to be, but then they're like tapping on stuff with their
Yeah,
fingernails and they're
that's what I was doing with my
clanking stuff.
microphone.
Oh, so annoying.
So I need if I were to have those headphones in, I would have to play something because otherwise, if I don't have a fan on, for example, I don't sleep very good. I have like weird dreams sometimes, nightmares. If I don't have some white noise going on, it's very bizarre. So I have to put the fan on. But if I were to put those headphones on, yeah, I would probably try out one of those colored noises. But no ASMR, huh, Dave?
No. Yeah, like I'm the same way. I've always needed a fan or some background noise to sleep. I do have like a headband. I don't ever wear it, but I did at one point where I had a headband that I would put over my ears to like hold the little earbuds in my ear so they wouldn't fall out. And I think I pulled it down so it was over my eyes. So it was like an eye mask
Oh.
and holding it in my ears, 'cause that's what I would use during a Rock Fest. Like the music festival where there's drunk people like yelling and screaming all around you in the campground. I'd put in the headphones, put on the like the eye mask and like put on some white noise and it would drown out a lot of noise and I was able to sleep really well.
Nothing more pleasing than ignoring the screams,
Okay.
the yells for help. All right, man. Well, I hear we should talk about another subject. Who's up? Is it me?
I think it's you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so with my last topic, bands with multiple vocalists. So I think I wanted to go in this way here. So starts off with the Beatles, you know. Love the fact that all four sang and they all have distinct voices. I like that a lot. And then I wanted to talk about like NWA. Like they have three vocal, or well, they have four vocalists, but a typical NWA song, Ice Cube starts it off. He's got the first verse. Then MC Ren has the second verse, and then Eazy-E has the third and last verse. And every song goes in that direction. And I always thought that was cool. Like, you always have Ice Cube open the motherfucker, and then Eazy-E is always the closer. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I kind of felt like they ran the formula out a little bit, but in the end, I didn't care. I was like, no, this is cool. Beastie Boys,
I was going to
three
ask about the
rappers.
Beastie Boys.
Yes, three rappers, and they intermingle like within a sentence, like gotta get those. Ad Rock says this word, and then MCA. And then Mike D says this word. But like, yeah,
And
they're
they all
always
join together on the last word.
not always. See, that's the thing. Everyone goes to intergalactic is like, oh, you mean the, they always sing. No, like they don't sing it like that a lot. It was just that was their most popular song where they did that. A lot of it, like especially Paul's Boutique, they don't do that at all, but I like that a lot. And then finally, I want to mention the bands where like everyone sang, like in Pink Floyd. But eventually, Roger Waters, that piece of shit, was like, no, you don't sing anymore. And you don't sing anymore. And I guess you could sing because you have a better voice than me, but shut up. I'm going to sing all these songs, There's those bands as well. But yeah, go ahead, guys.
There's a band I really like called the Moldy Peaches. It's just a guy and a girl, and they'll both sing, and they do something really unique where they're literally both singing like different lyrics at the same time. So you can kind of choose like which you want to engage with. I mean, they're kind of like a joke band in a way. They're really lo-fi, but very like I actually like their music a lot though.
That's from Juno, right? Was that how I know them?
Yeah, the girl like that did most of that the music it was in that. But and the one famous song then that Michael Cera and Elliot Page sing together
Yeah, there you go. You
are
landed it.
Yeah, that was a Moldy Peaches song.
Two dudes singing to each other. Okay. Go
So
ahead.
Vince, do you have any bands that there's two singers in that you think one of the singers is no good, but the other singer is really good?
Well, I would say Pink Floyd. Again, Roger Waters sings a lot. I don't like his voice. I think it's pretty weak. Where one singer sucks and the other one. Oh, in a way, System of a Down. Serge has that operatic voice, right?
Oh
I love that.
yeah.
But then the other guy, the lead guitarist, all of a sudden he
Yeah.
gets a huge head. He's like, I want to sing, but he has such a like cringe, like it could be good, and maybe it's supposed to feel that off, but he's totally off. You know what I mean?
He's ruined some of their songs, I felt like. I totally forgot about him. Yeah, I saw it. I was thinking about at Rockfest last year, there's a band called Wage War, and like the lead singer like comes out and there's four or five band members. He's singing the first song and it kind of sucks, didn't like it. Singing the second song kind of sucks, didn't like it. And it was like me and Eric and Matt and James, and then like the third song starts, and then all of a sudden the guy who was playing bass, he's got a microphone and he starts singing like the second verse of the song. And we're all like, whoa, this guy's awesome. This guy's so good. And we're like, okay, this is awesome. And then it goes back to the lead singer again. And we're like, eh, this guy sucks. And then he starts again, the bass player starts singing again. We're like, oh, this guy's awesome. And it was just like the backup singer who could barely, get any like time. He was way better than the lead singer. It was so unique. And it was just like, I love that guy, but they need to get rid of that lead singer. Just swap him out.
I think something happened similarly to the Pixies, where there was a dude singer and then there was the bassist female singer. But people always responded so well whenever she sang. But the guy was like, no, this is my band and shit like that. Yeah. There's other examples, like the Go-Go's, where like the lead singer, she's got a great voice, but then the one who's playing all the songs, she's like, can I sing? And she let her sing the bridge part, and then she wanted to sing more, but the one was like, no, I'm the lead singer, you write the songs and you play the guitar, that's it. So that's always interesting when there's, they want to get out in the spotlight as well. Very System of a Down. Yeah.
Dillinger Four is like a Minneapolis punk band that I've been into since high school, and they're another good one of like they're both singing within the same song, even. It's not even like alternating songs. It's they'll have like switch back and forth between the verses and the chorus, or maybe even within a verse and that kind of stuff. And it worked really well for them, I thought.
I just on VH1 there was Behind the Music and it was Boys to Men, and I just left it on because I like Behind the Music sort of stories and all those songs. I'm like, I remember that shit from like the early 90s growing up, just hearing their songs and stuff, and great harmonies with those guys. That's pretty cool. I like that.
I think another one to mention is like super famous band is Linkin Park. Two singers, both awesome. Part of the reason that I think they're so successful is having two awesome singers.
Well,
Like in different stylistically, because Chester is more like the rock screamer, and then like Mike Shinoda, more of like the rap hip hop sound.
yeah, that's cool. Any other bands you could think of? Because I want you guys to bring up bands I've never even heard of. You brought up Wage War and then the Dillinger. Yeah.
Dillinger Four.
Dillinger Four. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just thinking of like, I mean, these are bands I'm sure you've heard of, but like the harmonies, like that's a whole other way of, having multiple singers than I think what we've been talking about too. So like, like the Beach Boys and like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, like that stuff. Like,
Gotta have Young in there, otherwise they're shit.
yeah. Oh, don't even get me started.
Yeah. Does a chorus count? Like a male chorus? Have you guys
I
got
know.
that as
I was thinking of like, like the B-52s and like Love Shack. Like, does that
a
count?
Does that guy even sing? He's like, Aaron Brand Young,
I
Joe Top's my name.
mean,
I'm not gonna count that as multiple. Not
right.
that one. Oh shit.
But Rock Lobster, you would.
Yeah. God. All right. Segue to, are we who's next? Are we done?
No, it's I'd be next. I have a love. I now think of my life as having two separate eras, before and after my purchase of a Japanese toilet seat. It's really been a life changer for me in a positive way. So the it's got a lot of features. The main one that is really, makes it worth it is the built-in bidet. That I can go into, that whole level of hygiene escalation. But it also has like heated seat, which I so far I'm not convinced by. It just something about sitting on a warm toilet seat. It just feels like someone else was just there. But everything else I like, the It's like self-cleaning. It has like an air dry. It has like a deodorizing fan when you're sitting on it, so it sucks up the smells and all that stuff. It's a pretty remarkable piece of technology.
For me to poop on.
Well
So is
done.
this exclusively from Japan? Like, are they?
No, I mean, there's like bidet seats in other places too, but there's like a specific style that they have with like all the features, I think. And it's like over there, they have them like everywhere. Like all the hotel rooms have them. You go to the bathroom at like a restaurant or something, like they have them. Like they're just ubiquitous.
Shit, that's awesome. Bidet, that is something that I've been thinking about getting into because I'm like, fucking dry ass toilet paper. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm on a camping trip I was on, like somehow like pretty much everyone there except for me had one at the time, and they were shit talking about it, and they're like, but
Shit
like
talking.
let's say you got shit on your arm. Would you just take like a dry piece of toilet paper and wipe it off and be like, okay, I'm clean now? Like, no, I guess I wouldn't.
Well, I bought those, they're not baby wipes. They were called like man wipes or something like
Yeah,
that.
the dude wipes.
Yeah, dude wipes. Exactly. So I bought those, but then someone's like, they're not really flushable. Like
Yeah,
they
they're
still, yeah.
like they're flushable in the sense that like they will physically go down the toilet. But they cause issues no matter like what kind of sewage or septic system you have. Like you don't actually want to be flushing them.
Oh man.
Yeah, your likelihood of them clogging up some pipes down the line is very high. I know. So I have my brother-in-law. He got a bidet, and just out of nowhere, he was talking about having a bidet, how much he loved it. Yeah, Vince, you were there,
Yeah,
and
that's
like I
right.
was, and honestly, like my wife told me that she's like, I think he's gonna buy us a bidet for Christmas, and I
Oh,
was
you should
like.
be so lucky.
So for the last 3 or last like, yeah, like 3 months, I've been expecting to get a bidet for Christmas, and well, it didn't come. Like we never got one for Christmas, so I'm a little disappointed. And now I'm interested. I'm like, I want to know what brand name you have, and I'm probably gonna do a little Amazon shopping here because you've talked me into it.
Yeah, so I got the brand I saw everywhere over in Japan. It's called Toto. They are on the pricier side. I feel like a lot of people get like a Tushy brand and have been fans of that. I don't know as much about that one, but yeah, those are the two I'm familiar with.
Oh no, that's cool. Yeah, I'm gonna look into it as well, John. I think you've converted us both.
My boss is like into him to the point where like when he travels, he has like a water bottle with like a head that gets put on it, and you can like manually squeeze it and have it like use it as a bidet.
I think that's like a douche.
Yeah,
You're not supposed to do that,
much.
ladies. It's better to just let it be. Oh my gosh. And now we're going to be joined by Scott Allwood over here in a surprise cameo
Yeah.
twist. Sometime. Scott.
Hey, I fell asleep, so I was a sleepy boy. Where you guys at?
Welcome.
That was a theory of mine. I was like, well, he was he, you have weird hours and shit, so I
He
was
is
aware
a
of
sleepy boy.
that. And he's proud of it. Not a proud boy, but a sleepy boy.
Are what we are, guys. I just happen to be that.
Know what, Scott? You're actually showed up at a fine time. Dave, was this your last, or John, was this your last topic?
Was, yes.
Oh my gosh. But Let's see what Scott has to. Scott, how do you feel about bidets? And how do you feel about good days?
I've never tried one. So I've never used one. So I reckon I don't feel much about it. Sorry, guys. I don't really let you
Well,
down. I let you down and not being here on time and not really having a voice on this. So, you know what? I'm just gonna get out of here. I'm just gonna jump off of. So,
don't do that.
all right.
Okay, but Scott, what would you do if you had shit on your elbow? I mean, you gonna wipe it off with a dry piece of paper, or are you gonna get something wet and soapy?
It's never come up in life, but I feel like I could throw some water on there,
Exactly.
very least, or just dip it in the toilet after I.
Your old elbow in the toilet maneuver.
Yeah, the people's elbow. You're gonna do a wrestling move. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Dave, you have one more topic, and then let's just have Scott close us out with all three of his topics.
Yeah, I have one more topic and I don't even remember exactly what it is. I know I'm indifferent to Chat GPT.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was artificial AI or Chat GPT because they're kind of similar. There's differences, but it's similar. I'm indifferent to Chat GPT. I've heard lots of people like talk about using it. And like how useful it is to them. I know like a lot of like high school kids use it to like plagiarize papers and stuff like this.
Heck yeah.
So like I had to write a like a letter of recommendation for someone and I asked ChatGPT to write me one and it was horrible. Like it was the worst. And then I'm like, okay, I get it. It's kind of like Google. I have to be more specific. So then I told it like precisely what I wanted it to say, but it was not what I wanted at all. And then I kind of just scrapped it and just wrote my own because I don't know, it didn't work. And also another thing, so my wife is like an eighth grade school teacher and she is an English teacher, so she gets kids who have to write like a 2-page paper and submit it, and she'll get some, and she knows immediately that it's Chat GPT that wrote it. She's like, these kids can't even come up an idea for a paper, let alone write in long form complete sentences. You know, they're like they're struggling so hard. So when you see something that is like AI driven, like you can spot it a mile away. So it's kind of interesting.
Did anyone
I've
here
never
in
actually it, so I find it all pretty interesting, but that makes sense that especially an English teacher in eighth grade would notice that chill, like it's just completely different than the voice of that child.
back in the day, did anyone plagiarize for work? I mean, I did it a few times, but I was subtle about it.
I might be a sleepy boy, but I'm a good boy. With dignity.
I definitely cheated my fair amount in school, but not through plagiarism. Normally just copying someone's homework at the last second or something. Or is that what you mean? But not like writing a paper and you plagiarize it from something or another.
I think you should give back that valedictorian what'd they give you, a sash? I don't even
No,
remember.
I was number three, man.
What?
Yeah.
Who was two? Brooke?
Yeah, she was two and Melissa was one, or
She.
vice versa. I'm not sure. Yeah, I helped them with stuff over the course of high school for sure, but
I think you need to show up and you guys all do an IQ test.
yeah,
See who the real winner is.
definitely.
Yeah,
The
you've
three of
staged it.
us and Chat GPT.
Oh my gosh. John, we've used ChatGPT, right? Like we were like, hey, write us a script where you and Matt and I, yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot in past episodes, and like beyond it, like being an amusement, I think the only thing that I've asked it to do that I actually used was like tell me something to write for my 2-year-old niece's birthday card.
Oh.
It had some gems for that, but other than
Get
that,
on the phone.
I know
They
it's
had
just like,
it had a
Uncle
good sense
John,
of
that wasn't from the heart.
humor. You're two going on 30. Oh my gosh, doesn't this kind of tie into I mean the birthday thing? Scott, aren't you like have
Don't you have a
something
birthday?
to do with That's my indifference is holiday birthday greeting cards. I mean, I like when people give them to me, but if they don't, I'm like, man, I have like the ones that people give me set out as if they did mean something, and they do. I don't want to say that I don't like them at all. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them out. But if I, it's just, I'm indifferent to it. So it does, it's not a necessity. I don't feel like if somebody doesn't give me a card, I'm ready to toilet paper their house. Like, you know what? Fuck you.
I just like the idea that sometimes it's fun to pretend that things are meaningful.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised though, because you save them. I don't save mine. I think eventually I just kind of toss them. Like a yeah, I don't really save them at all.
I couldn't do that. Maybe they mean more than I thought,
Yeah.
but
I'm surprised.
I couldn't just throw them out like that. People spent money on them and put time into it. You'd have to be pretty soulless to.
Hold on though. It's I figured you were going to mention because it's not from the heart. These are, you know, those pre-written cards. To me, I don't feel anything from them because you have to write something yourself. Like I'll hold on to those written ones a little bit longer before I throw them in the garbage. Yeah.
Like 2 days after your birthday.
Yes. Trump
But
it
now,
up.
like, once you know that, like, ChatGPT is really writing these cards for
Oh
you,
my
now they're
gosh.
all worthless. Like, I have in my garage, I think I have a shoebox, like, filled with old cards. And they're just, like, Christmas cards or birthday cards. There's nothing, like, written in there other than, like, happy birthday and a name signed at the bottom. And like I save them because I feel like it's supposed to be sentimental, or I should, like a good person would save them. But
Damn
like I there's they mean nothing to me emotionally. Like I don't care. Like they're gonna sit in that shoebox until like a couple of weeks after I die and someone goes through my stuff and throws it away. Like
it.
I should mention that I guess I haven't really kept them until the past 3 years. And or, you know, from when I was a child. So I have this very large gap to where I don't have those anymore. And I think maybe subconsciously I noticed that I ended up throwing them away at some point, and I made it a effort to like a point to not do that anymore. So yeah, I guess most of them are from my grandma, my mom, couple friends. I don't have my ex's cards up anymore. I got baby ones when I was like a little baby, and you can clearly tell it's 36 years old. And I
But
think that
okay, what about do you give them away that like do you give people cards?
I don't do many, but I did some for my mom. I did some for my grandma, I did some for my buddy a few times, and those were more just like joke ones where I would just say fuck you, like you'd open the card, scratch everything out and just put fuck you. Signed, Scott.
That's a good one. What about you, John? Do you keep them at all?
No, not at
No.
all. Do you ever think about like This is a physical object that, you know, someone had like in their house or on their table, and then they wrote on it like their name, and then they put it in an envelope and sent it to you. But then you're like, a person like, you know, like Aunt Susan has cats running around everywhere. There's like probably cat shit on this card, and now I'm like holding it in my hand.
Well, I mean, I guess. Well, then that makes me think of like when they send a card with money in it. That's the best kind right there. But that's dirty money, man. Very dirty.
That's true. Checks only,
Yeah.
man.
Checks.
And I feel
I
like
grab with a
part of like
tweezer and like, you know, do the mobile deposit.
I feel like the reason that people like to send cards is it's like a weird like nostalgia thing where like, you know, back in the day you used to send stuff by mail and you'd be handwritten letters and you'd put it in an envelope and do the little wax seal on the outside and send it to the postman and it was going to make it across the country. Like, and so there's like that nostalgia feel to it, but I don't know. That's
I just looked over at the cards and I was like, which cards should I bring over here? And I'm gonna, because typically each one has something written in it, and I'll write things in mine as well. And this is one I got for my grandma this year. And it is, oh my gosh, I wish I could hold this closer without it going.
Oh.
Little dog on a bike. I have no idea why they decided this was the card to get for me. I don't ride motorcycles. I never will. They scare me to death. And I don't have a dog. So, but he has like piercings on his tongue and stuff.
Oh
It
my
is so
gosh.
obnoxious. I love it more now that I'm even showing it to you guys. It's so funny.
I
I
wonder
wonder
what
if
I actually hate is I got a holiday card from the company that like poured our cement for our garage. It's
it...
like I don't need this. That tree didn't have to die. Like
Thanks for letting us kill your tree. Love does.
Yeah, I got a birthday card from my dentist. It was like time for an appointment. I'm like, well.
Yeah, I think I don't send them a lot, but then again I'm not a, I'm bad though. I'm bad like that. I throw cards away. I don't give them out either. But it's time to change. It's 2024, right? All right, so now, Scott, give us your second topic in whatever you choose.
I'm gonna go with my hate and leave love for last, boys.
Yes.
My hate is premature announcements for anything in the sense of like games and movies and TV shows that get me all excited, and then they end up being canceled because there's not enough excitement. I get why it happens, but it also just breaks my heart so many times when I start to look forward to something like that, that I had to stop looking forward to things at all. Just being dramatic, but it does suck because you read a premise of a movie. There was a premise of a movie back in when Will Arnett was hot off of Arrested Development called Jeff the Demon. It was a movie about him playing a demon. I don't remember the full premise, but that alone had me going, Will Arnett as a demon? That is amazing. I want to see this movie. And it never became a thing. It never came to fruition. And that's just one of the examples. And that was fucking 15 years ago, and it's still on my mind.
Well, I wanted to bring up trailers that have scenes that aren't in the movie. That drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
The worst perpetrator that I could think of was Star Wars Rogue One, where they had this awesome shot. It was probably the closing shot of the trailer, and that was never in the movie. They just shot it and they're like, oh, that's going in the trailer, you know? Like, and there was like a lot of scenes that weren't in that movie. And that's super annoying. but also, I just had to bring this up because there's examples. There was this movie called Fly Away Home with Jeff Daniels and like Anna Paquin maybe, where they teach these domestic geese to fly south or whatever, right? And it was in the trailer, it was called Flying Wild. And then the movie comes out and they're like, oh, it's called Fly Away Home. I'm like, hey, I'm here to watch a movie called Flying Wild. Like, what the fuck? It's so petty, but I'm like, the title was Flying Wild. So I don't know. It's example.
On the Super Mario Bros. 3 for the NES, there was like on the back of the box artwork, there was three like screenshots of the game. And one of the three is like a level that doesn't even exist in the game. I spent years of my childhood like trying to find like where is this hidden level? And you know,
How does that
or the
even
internet. Yeah, I
totally.
know. It's like some like demo level or some test level that the game developers just I don't know, man. Only until like I got the internet and I could learn like, nope, that actually doesn't exist anywhere.
Harsh. Do you remember what it looked like? Was it like
Yeah, I remember what it looked like. It was green. It had those red beetles that you can like stand on and they carry you. Which they only exist in one level of the game, which is like an ice level, I believe.
Oh shit.
So, yeah.
Great.
So
Dave.
I kind of think of like Grand Theft Auto 6, which is like a new video game that's going to be coming out. And like the last Grand Theft Auto 5 that came out in the year 2013, 10 years ago. And they just like a month ago, they've announced that the sequel's coming out, but it doesn't even come out in 2024. It comes out in 2025. So it's still like more than a year away. I don't know. It's like I should be excited for it, but I'm still just like, I can't really get excited if I can't even like, I can look forward to like this summer because it's winter. I'm looking forward to summer. That I can wrap my head around. I can't like look forward to something more than a year ahead of time. It's just a waste of my time. I think like the greatest example of it. Okay, let's go to that. Oh, I can see it. That's
Say
awesome.
something. Say something, John.
Oh yeah,
Super.
so this is the level. Spent so much time looking for it, but
Not in the game. Oh my gosh.
apparently, I'm not the only one who was frustrated by this because that came up pretty quickly in searching for it.
That's
That's
great.
amazing.
Are we out of juice on this one? Do we
Oh, well, I
go
was get the big example of like a release date or like something that's coming up that it's taking too long to get to is Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin with Winds of Winter. Like it's supposed to have been coming out for like 10 years now, and we still have, there's no end in sight. Like, I don't know. There's conspiracy theories about is he actually planning on releasing it or is he just waiting to die and he doesn't care about writing it? I don't, like, no one knows.
Yeah, but you already know how it ends. Just watch the show, right?
Well, that's a theory is that he saw the ending of the TV show and he's like, maybe my idea was bad, so let me rewrite it all.
I thought that was D&D fucking around. They made that up, a lot of it for themselves. No?
Well, that's what he wants you to think, but some people think that that was his idea, so who knows?
That's a long ass book, though. They're all long ass books. I don't know if I'll read them, though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really like learn about stuff early enough to be disappointed when it doesn't come out. Like there's definitely stuff I've been waiting for a long time but still holding out hope for, like Hollow Knight 2 basically is an example where like they had said that was going to be released years ago and it's still in development, but I believe it's still actually in development, so We'll see, but
My gosh. The Lost World, Jurassic Park. In the trailer, there's a guy who's like, what is that? When they hear the fucking T-Rex walking, that never happens. That guy doesn't say, what is that? That always drove me nuts. There's so many examples, guys. Oh, how about this, though? When you watch something and then it's cut out for like television or something like that, that's always bizarre, too. Yeah. Like, okay, the best example. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
I was gonna say the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like the original Gene Wilder version. I saw like an actual like DVD of that movie. There is like 20 minutes or 30 minutes that is like cut out that you don't even like ever see on TV, but it's like in the beginning of the movie, and they're like Charlie has like this whole new song that he's singing. I thought I had watched the movie like 20 times in my life, but it turns out I never watched the full actual movie. There was like a whole 20 or 30 minutes that was cut out.
Just for like purposes and scheduling? Is that what that
I
is?
yeah, I think it was just so they could fit it into like a 2-hour time block, you know, with all their commercials.
Plus all
And
the nudity and profanity.
Oh, when Charlie holds his hand down at school, wiggling. Gosh.
I feel like Grandpa Joe was in the bed for a very long time in that like portion that was cut out. But like that portion of the movie that was cut out, it was really bad. Like they probably should have cut it out.
Doing him a favor.
Yeah, like let's fast forward to the part with Gene Wilder in the movie. That's when it gets good.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. All right, Scott, what you got for your fucking last topic ever?
My fucking last topic is love, boys. We're about to have some love spread. Okay. Magazines. I stumbled onto this little magazine. What do you want to call it? Like, just it's like a bunch of comic strips or of jokes, and there are comics that they make where it spoofs movies. It'll be like, oh, Family Guy, more like Family Girl, and then it'll be a comic of like Family Guy. They'll make Peter a girl or something. But it has Alfred E. Newman on every single cover, and they're just so fun to look at. And I stumbled onto it when I was like, I don't know, 10 years old. Maybe it was later than that, 13 years old, 12 years old, somewhere from 10 to 13, maybe 11 years old. But
11 and a half, possibly. I don't know what part of the calendar year
you're at the
it
supermarket, and I was with my buddy and his mom, and I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, can you get me this? This looks funny. And she did, and it became like this obsession where I would buy them every single month, and I would kind of go in and out of it throughout my adulthood, where I would be like, oh shit, yeah, Mad Magazine exists. I need to get back into that. My neighbor behind me as a kid happened to have Mad Magazines, and he lured me over there.
Everything else is a blur.
He ended up showing me a bunch of his, and I showed him mine. Oh, I gotta show you how much of a freak I am with these.
Oh my gosh. He's
Okay.
gonna show us his stack like he like his neighbor showed him. Well, I gotta
Man.
say though, I haven't read it. I've watched Mad TV though, and that's basically the same, right?
Really related, other than the name, right?
Oh, I thought they were straight up like the same writers, but yeah, I don't know. I
Or
have no
maybe,
idea.
I don't know. I thought they just took the name of the magazine and they tried to piggyback off the popularity of it.
Oh, really? Oh,
But
no.
I really don't know.
They were a good contender to SNL growing up. That's what I remember thinking. I'm like, this show ain't bad. It's not bad. The only thing is, though, that that the casts were like contractually locked in, apparently. So that's why they never left the show. Like every cast member was there for like 11 years, something like that. Yeah. 'Cause like Key of Key and Peele, he was like, I wanna go to SNL or I wanna do this and that. And they're like, no, you're stuck, you're here with us. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's lots of like predatory contracts with actors and musicians, and it's very unfortunate. All right, let's see your stack.
I also was obsessed with Mad TV though. Seasons 3 through 7 were just prime Mad TV and fucking beautiful. But yeah, I have a bunch of these binders where it's
Oh
just
shit.
like them in plastic. And I also just have loose versions out and about. This is the very first one I ever. Oh fuck. This is the first one I ever got. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin on the cover.
Nice.
Let me try to bring it in.
That's awesome.
Be cool, Zoom. Be cool,
Yeah,
Zoom. Let me try to bring it in. There it is. Very first one I ever got.
that's sweet.
The second one I ever got. He's got a yo-yo. He's got a yo-yo, guys. But yeah, that's that. I looked forward to that every single month, and it was like $3 for a magazine. So, and there were sometimes when there was like a really nice picture of a girl in a swimsuit that I would look at sometimes.
Isn't it all drawn though?
Those were advertisements that I was,
Oh, okay.
but there was also a magazine called Cracked that I got a lot of copies of that went out of business fairly quickly after I started getting into those. Mad stuck around until just a few years ago, though. They tried to rebrand it, but it didn't quite work out. So they're just like, well, let's just keep re-releasing, compilation magazines of stuff. So that's what they typically do now.
Cracked is the website's still up. I know that because I go on Cracked a lot. Turns out it's just something that slowly happened because they'll talk about movies and shit like that, and I think they're pretty funny. But okay, so you have those that collection. Is that possibly going to go up in price eventually? Is that your little nest egg or whatever?
They go for some decent amounts if you put like a lot on eBay or something. I probably
Tens
have
of
a few.
dollars.
I'm sorry.
Tens of dollars.
Oh yeah. You know it, baby. I
If it
probably
was $3 an issue,
better.
that's good.
No. I probably have like 100 at least.
Yeah, if it's oh, Dave and I or Dave was wondering, is Mad TV the same writers or is it just name only where they were like oh.
It's just name only. The first
Really?
five
Fuck.
seasons would do spy versus spy. That was a big thing that came from Mad Magazine. So they started to do the cartoons and animate them for the Mad TV series. And then there was, after Mad TV, a show on Cartoon Network for a few seasons called Mad, where they would continue to spoof celebrities and TV shows, and then they would also do Spy versus Spy on there as well. That was probably one of my favorite bits in there. And then the lighter side of is it would be like the lighter side of skateboarding, and then there would be several little three-piece comic strips of just like a skateboarding comic.
Oh man. Well, I know I've thumbed through a few issues, but I never subscribed or anything. But I always enjoy their when they satirize movies and stuff. That's always I always got a big kick out of that. So I'd probably read some if I came across some now. Thanks for the reminder there, Scott.
Anytime, man. If you ever need one, I'll just send me that address and
I'm not your neighbor, all right?
yeah,
We're not gonna do that same thing. Shit.
yeah. You can't blame a boy for trying.
All right, man. Well, I think that's it. We're topicless and we just want to go home. It's 10 o'clock. All right. Well, thanks for joining, guys. Like, subscribe, comment. This was a Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud.
Howdy, John all Hennix.
And Dave.
Got Scott Allwood showing up to end the song like Eazy-E. I like it.